New Line Theatre's 80th production opens tonight at the Marcel Theatre, and it revives a character who's been around for a while, Zorba the Greek. That's the title of a 1946 book of the same name, a 1964 movie, and a 1968 Broadway musical titled simply Zorba. It opens in St. Louis tonight and will run through the 25th. Joining me in studio to talk about the production are Scott Miller, New Line Theatre's artistic director. Actor and singer Kent Coffle plays the title role. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Big day for you today. Big night for you tonight.
Yeah.
You had a preview last night. How did it go?
We did. It went really, really well.
Yeah, small crowd, but they liked it.
Well, that's good. That's getting
and
off to a good
start. And my parents were there. That's always the barometer, what my parents think, because sometimes our shows are a little weird. But they absolutely had a blast with it. And I think people are really going to love it.
Yeah. Good. Well, people have loved it in as many iterations in the past.
Yeah.
Scott, why don't you just give us a very brief overview of the story of Zorba?
Well, it's about this young guy, Nikos, who has inherited a mine on the island of Crete. And on his way there, he meets this guy, Zorba, this older man who kind of consumes life massively every moment. And kind of the action of the story, they both meet women, and that's part of it. But the main thing is just kind of that Nikos has to learn about living life fully from Zorba. And he does. He learns that lesson.
And Kent, you've got Zorba on your mind, obviously. But, you know, when a lot of people of a certain age think about Zorba the Greek, they think of Anthony Quinn, who played the role in the movie. They think of Herschel Bernardi, who played it on Broadway.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I think Quinn actually came back and revived it again at some point.
In the 80s.
So here you go. So what do you take from these guys?
Well, there's some inspiration there, but I think mainly we focus on the story itself. And Scott's put a lot of research and time into the original book, the character that became Zorba the Greek. And so that's where the real inspiration has been, I think, more so than the original productions. Trying to find this character who is really larger than life, who's passionate about everything, and whatever he feels very strongly, whether it's anger or it's happiness or whatever it is, he's much more larger than life. So
how do you bring that larger than life to the stage? I mean, do you just talk more loudly, or do you puff yourself up and stomp around?
Well, I guess I start by realizing that Zorba is a lot different than I am. So, and that's both a privilege to get to play a character who's so different, but it's also a terror, because everything that's natural to me as an actor or as a person is different than what Zorba would do. So I have to remember at all times to remind myself to walk like Zorba and to carry myself like Zorba and to speak the way that he would speak and take up more space than I as a person would do.
That is acting, after all.
That is acting, that's right.
Do you use an accent?
Yes.
A Greek accent?
We have generically Greek or kind of Middle Eastern accents, I think I would call it.
You know, I'm a fan of musical theater. And, you know, when I think of composers and think of those who have been most successful over the years, Rodgers and Hammerstein would come to mind, Stephen Sondheim, John Kander and Fred Ebb are the composers, lyrics and music for this program. I never heard of these guys. And when I was reading about Zorba, Cabaret, Chicago, Kiss of the Spider Woman, the Scottsboro Boys, Woman of the Year, these guys, tremendously prolific.
Yeah, they've written so many shows. And you know, if they had only written Chicago and Cabaret,
exactly. That
would be amazing.
Yeah.
But they've written all these other shows, too, and they're all terrific shows. And the way they, Fred Ebb is dead now, but the way they worked together, they were in the same room. They wrote the songs together at the same moment, Kander at the piano, Ebb making up lyrics. And they wrote songs just poured out of them, and there were these amazing songs. It was really cool.
Is it just a testimony to the abyss into which I've fallen that I wouldn't know the names of these composers?
I don't know. I mean, they came along in the 60s when musical theater wasn't as central to the culture as when Rodgers and Hammerstein were around, so I think maybe that's part of it.
Well, this came out in 1964, and I think it was nominated for 8 Tonys at the time. So they were getting a lot of attention. Let's listen to a little of their music. Can you set up? We're going to listen to the opening track, from what I understand.
Yeah, the show opens in a kind of a bouzouki parlor where all these people have gathered to drink and tell stories, and they decide they're going to tell the story of Zorba. And it starts with kind of a debate about what is life, which is kind of the point of the whole show.
All right, well, let's listen to a little of it.
Listen to me. I will tell you. Life is what you do while you're waiting to die. Life is how the time goes by. Life is where you wait while you're waiting to leave. Life is where you grin. Underneath the rat, hungry for the fill up in someone else's pot, but that's the only choice.
Life is what you do while you're waiting to die. What a line that is.
You know, the thing that I really love about this show, and the reason I've been wanting to do it for so long, is the point of it is that life has a lot of good stuff and a lot of bad stuff, and happy stuff and sad stuff. And if you really want to be happy, you kind of have to embrace all of it. You have to take all of it. It's all part of life. And I love that message. I love the idea of that. You know, that life is just our time here. That's all it is. And we got to live it and do the best we can. I think that's cool.
Very cool. Live while you live and then die and be done with it is another phrase that kind of matches that. Kent, we were not listening to Zorba.
No.
Saying that. Well, what character was that opens the show?
That's the leader. She comes and goes through the show, and most of the time she's sort of an unseen presence almost. But she narrates and guides us through the show and comes in crucial moments. And that opening number is kind of, it's a little bit messy and chaotic. There's an argument about what life is, and everybody has different opinions about it, but it's very passionate. So it's much like life.
Yeah.
Tell me something about your fellow cast members.
Oh, we've got a great cast. A young man named Dominic Windsor, who is plays Nikos, and this is our second show together in these kinds of roles. So I've worked with Dominic for 4 or 5 years now. He has a great voice and a great stage presence. And then Lindsay Jones plays the leader, and she has this just great, powerful voice that really fills the stage. Mara Bellini, Anne Heyer, who am I forgetting?
Well, Margot Steino, who plays Madame Hortense, who's this aging French courtesan who lives in the village, who Zorba romances, which is part of the fun.
Well, is this something you want to bring the kids to?
It's fairly family friendly, I think.
I think so.
You know, I have some notes here with regard to your theater. And among the things that I have read, New Line is called the bad boy of musical theater, adult alternative musical theater. Tell me about that. I mean, this is obviously something that is part of the of what you're trying to do.
Yeah, we do musicals that are about very serious things, which is not to say they're all dramas. Sometimes they're outrageous comedies, but about something serious underneath. For the most part, we try to find something that has political or social content behind it. And part of what's cool about that is that we get to explore these really, really interesting shows that other people don't produce. Some of what we do, other companies will produce those shows too, but most of the shows we do, nobody else is going to do them. And that's really fun for us, and it's really fun for the audience. And you get to have these really entertaining, wild, amazing evenings, but also drive home with something to think about and talk about, which is really, I think, really part of what theater is supposed to do.
How does Zorba fit into this mold then?
Well, Zorba, you know, we were talking about this last night after the preview. It's very much a New Line show. It's very much about some, you know, fundamental issues. And it's fairly dark. There are some characters who die. But at the same time, it's wildly entertaining. There's a lot of laughs and everything. And I think it's that mix that's really cool. There's a lot of joy in it, and there's a lot of darkness in it. But it's very life-affirming, ultimately. And I think I'm drawn to dark material because I think that's more interesting. But I love it when it's mixed with joy because that's that's what life is.
Kent, you're over there nodding in affirmation.
I am. This is the fourth New Line show I've been a part of, and they've all had a dark, edgy side to them. I think Zorba is probably closer to a more traditional musical than most of the New Line material, but it certainly has those dark moments.
Do you have the sense, because we're going back 50-plus years to the days, more than that, since the novel was written, but do you think people have a sense of Zorba the character today? Given the fact that we're going back 50, 60, 70 years even.
Young people don't know who Zorba is, I'm finding. but I think, I don't know, I think the story is really potent at this particular moment. And maybe it's about all the craziness in our politics and all that, but there's something about grabbing onto life and just shaking it and having a blast with it. I think there's something, I don't know, therapeutic about that right now.
Kent, you perform only a couple of days a week. It's not 7 days a week, right?
We have three shows a week for four weekends. That's right.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
How difficult is that on the actor, if you will, in terms of having this gap, this separation between the weekly performances?
Yeah, particularly when we come back that second week after having had doing it every night the week we open.
Right, because you've been through Tech Week, which is six or seven or eight nights in a row of doing the show, and you're there at the theater every night until 10:30, 11 o'clock. It's nice to have that little gap in there, three or four days to kind of rest up, but you can't let the material get far away from you. You need to stay in it and be ready to come back. And I found really that's worked out pretty well. On the second, third, and fourth weekends, people are ready to go.
We have more music that we can play, and I've got two selections here. I'm not sure we have time for both, but one is The Top of the Hill, and the other is The Crow. Which would be your preference if you had to choose
one? We should play
one?
Top of the Hill.
Top of the Hill. Let's give a listen to it. Do you want to set it up? Is there something we should know?
This is when Zorba is on his way to meet the French woman.
A door to the room in a house at the top of the hill where someone's waiting for you, waiting for you. There's a woman at the door.
All right. You know, Kent, I keep waiting to hear Zorba. You really have a role in this thing?
I'm pretty sure there's a song
sing,
of you in
we
there.
We promise he sings. You know, listening to it, so I keep telling people the show's rowdy, and that really is true. It's a very rowdy show.
That's true.
There is a real Zorba. There was a real Zorba, correct? Is the real Zorba anything like the character that has evolved in the theater, do we know?
I think so. I think the novel is pretty much a true story. And I know when Kander and Ev were writing the show, they found correspondence between the novel's author and the real Zorba. And they also use some of that material to write the show.
Yeah. We've only got a minute left, but the music of Greece is very easily identifiable. Is that a part of what's going to be happening in terms of the sound of the Greek music, instrumentation, if you will?
Absolutely. We even have in the orchestra a bouzouki.
Our guitar player, Mike Bauer, has been working for the last few months learning to play a bouzouki.
Well, I hope he's got it down pat by now.
He does.
That's because you're opening tonight. You had a preview last night. Let's see here. We've got it opens tonight at the Marcel Theater. And that what time is the presentation?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Yeah. And you mentioned that the first week it's every night?
No. We were rehearsing every night.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, and it's going to be running through the 25th on the weekends. Thank you so much, Scott Miller of the New Live Theater, and Ken Coffer for being with us. Break a leg, as they say. Hope you have a great success.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun, and it sounds like a lot of fun. Well, that's a wrap for today's St. Louis on the Air. We're back on Monday, same time, same place. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.
Someone else is bad, but that's the only choice.